This episode of Show Me Mo Success is sponsored by the Community Arts Program, a three-way partnership between MU Extension, the University of Missouri, and Missouri communities. Find out more at extension.missouri.edu/programs/community-arts-program.
But right now we are partnering with the St. Charles County Parks System. They have this park, Klondike Park, which is an amazing, beautifully amazing space. Lisa helped us organize our thoughts. We recognized that this building was sitting empty and so thought it was a perfect opportunity to create an art center there. So we approached the Parks District. They were really excited about it. It's a really special architectural space. And so we are partnering with them. And we're ready to hit the road and run.
I'm Luke Dieterle, Extension Specialist with the Exceed program at NU Extension, and I'll be your host for this show about Missourians and how they came together to find a creative use for a community asset to enrich the lives of their neighbors. And along the way, how they got a little help from MU Extension's Business and Communities program. On the show today, how St. Charles County resident Terry Moore rallied the community of Augusta, Missouri to repurpose a meeting facility in Klondike Park into the Creative at Klondike. Also, Lisa Overholzer, Field Specialist in Community Arts and Development in St. Louis, touches on how MU Extension's Passport to the Arts program helped Terry plan, develop, and execute her vision. So now that the space is here, what do you kind of see as its prime use, or what benefit is it going to be bringing to the community?
Well, for the parks purposes, we're going to collaborate on programming with them, but we're also going to run a camp store. So the people that camp at Klondike Park, it's kind of far away. It's 10 to 12 miles away from any other store. You can't buy anything that you might forget. You can't buy it unless you travel quite a distance. So we're going to run a small store with the parks, in collaboration with the parks department. We're going to offer things like bug spray and ice and wood for fires, that kind of thing. But we're also planning on using it as a creative art space. It's going to be a place where the community creative people, whether they're creative makers or just supporters, can gather and create new things or discuss new thoughts. We hope to have a full-blown gallery where we're going to have regular exhibits changing. We'll also provide a space. The building is 5,000 square feet, so we've got a lot of room. We've got some special rooms set aside for regional artists that will have their work in there so that you can find them there and then go to their studios if you're interested in further exploring what they're doing. We'll also have some workshop space. I've already got a class scheduled for February, and it's a 6-week every Thursday course. It is almost full, 2 sessions. So people are rarely interested in what we're doing.
Lisa and Terry, how did you two connect?
Lisa, you want to field that one?
Sure. So I work as a field specialist in community arts, community development for MU Extension. And we have this program called Passport to the Arts. And it's a planning process for us to work with communities if they want to do some kind of arts-based community and economic development. And we piloted that right before COVID hit. And Augusta actually, as a community, reached out to us and said they want to do something there. So that's initially how we met.
Mm-hmm. We had several meetings.
Yes, we did.
In Augusta, yeah.
So Terry, could you talk a little bit about the mission of the Creative at Klondike and what your goals are for the project?
Yeah, we think that we will really benefit the local people by using this space on a daily or a weekly basis, but also people that travel to our area, let's say people from St. Louis that are coming out to Augusta to visit the wineries. Well, you can only go to 2 or 3 wineries before you're kind of done with wineries and you need something else to do. So right. That's where we're going to come in. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that's where we will come in. We'll give people something to do, an activity that doesn't revolve around retail shopping, which is not terrible. But again, you only have so much money. You can only do so much retail shopping. You can only drink so much wine. So when you do those two things, then you come out to where we are and you can get to see some beautiful artwork and sit in our cafe and perhaps make a pot on the potter's wheel or go into the photo studio and see what we've got going on there. We also hope that people will do events with us, book our studio or plan a special workshop program for special events when they have, let's say, a Girls Day Out or something, where they want to come out and do something in wine country that doesn't revolve just strictly around drinking. They can come out and do a project with us.
Lisa, could you tell us, Terry's touched on it already, but could you tell us a little bit about your involvement in all of this and what role that Passport to the Arts played in the development of all of this?
Sure. Yeah. Like Terry said, you know, we were just in the very beginning. Our Passport to the Arts program is meant to be an opportunity to work with the community, bring community feedback in, make connections where maybe there weren't connections before, to really focus on this idea of building up your community, developing your community with an arts focus. And it's a very small community, probably about 200 people, I think, Terry.
239 or something like that.
239. So it's a very small community in kind of southern St. Charles County, in kind of wine country. And they're known for wine. They're known for, you know, some German heritage, but I think, and they have some wonderful artists already there, but they wanted to do something that was a little bit more about placemaking. They thought about community murals. So we were kind of the catalyst to sort of bring people together, to help them get community feedback. Cause, you know, Mary and Terry and Kimberly, also up the three people Terry just mentioned, they could have easily done something on their own, but I think they really wanted to be intentional about getting community feedback and making sure that they were thinking through who are all the stakeholders that need to be thinking about this. So I think, and Terry can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we did some asset mapping activities with them. We talked about community capitals framework. We sort of listed all the different assets they had, not just arts, but I remember when we did that initial community asset mapping, one of the assets that got listed under natural capitals was parks, the park system, the Katy Trail, but also the park system. And, you know, that kind of was a very small blip initially. And the whole process of Passport to the Arts is to eventually get the community feedback, get them kind of focused on a project, and then have something sustainable that they can carry forward. And that's now what they've done. And now, lo and behold, this thing that they listed under natural capital as an asset to them, they're really utilizing that and they're building something artistically focused on their community.
Yeah, that's incredible. So speaking of the benefits of all of this, were there any unexpected benefits that came through all of these collaborations that kind of arose around this issue?
Well, I don't know if Terry wants to maybe answer that. I'll just say, from my perspective, again, as a kind of community development person, I do tend to think of the benefits in terms of community capitals. If you know the community capitals framework, there's 7 or 8 of them, depending on who you talk to. But I think they really built up social capital. They have people talking to each other. They recently announced at a town hall meeting that they were doing this, and they got a standing ovation. Like the town is behind them. And keep in mind, they've had COVID in the interim. They've had a huge development company come in and sort of change their course a little bit. They had to kind of adapt to that, and they've persevered, and they've really have the right people in place. They've got momentum. They've connected now to the park, which I think is also a form of political capital. I think they felt very distanced from kind of the heart of St. Charles County, seemed to be focused more on St. Charles City. And they now have this great connection with county government, which they didn't have before. So in my perspective, that is going to serve them well in the future, from my perspective.
I think you hit it right on the head. And I see us as that bridge for Eastern St. Charles County, which is widely overly developed, and then Western St. Charles County, which has very little, but has that new corporation coming in, we can be that bridge now that we've got that connection with the county.
I love that.
Yeah, it's incredible what a community coming together around one issue, you know, the benefits that can spring from that. So I was curious. So folks that want to participate with the Creative at Klondike, can they just show up and make art, or how do folks get involved?
Yes, we haven't really sussed that out yet. The board of the Four Rivers Arts Council is the governing board for us, because we are considering the Creative at Klondike a program of the Four Rivers Arts Council, because they already have their 501(c), and that's what we're kind of operating under. So we've come up with a couple options where you can just come and pay by the day, or you can pay by the month, or you can have an annual membership. So we've got all of those things in the works. While at the same time, we're trying to build our website. Actually, I'm trying to build a website, and I'm not a web person, so because we're really being careful about how we use the resources that we have right now. We want to put those into a place where the community can benefit, instead of hiring a web person right at this moment. We will have to get to that point, but right now I'm building it on. It's not pretty yet, but it will be.
So yeah, before we wrap up, are there some more events happening that you haven't mentioned that you'd like to plug that the Creative at Klondike is going to be hosting?
Yeah, let me kind of go back to where Lisa started and thank Lisa and her organization, the MU Extension. Without them introducing us to the idea that we could do this, we would have never pursued this project. So, although they haven't been really a part of where we are right now, they were a part of where we started. So we really owe them a great debt of gratitude, and we try to thank them every chance we get on all of our marketing as well. I'm teaching a class. It starts February 9th, and it's a 6-week class. I think I mentioned it briefly, but it's I'm an art teacher. I've taught the college level. I've taught at every level. But what I've recognized is that people are not really literate about their articulation about fine art. So if you ask them, well, do you like that painting? They'll say yes. And you say, why? And they'll say, well, it makes me feel good. And that's really the only way they can describe it. So this class is about teaching an articulation, touching on art throughout history from the modern era to contemporary times, and then making a piece of work weekly that's based on the lecture that they heard or informed by the information or by the learning that they just got. So they'll be making, learning, and talking, and figuring out how to do that in a way that feels as big as the artwork that they're seeing.
That was Terry Moore, president of the Four Rivers Arts Council and executive director of the Creative at Klondike. Thanks for listening. I'm Luke Dieterle, extension specialist with MU Extension's Business and Communities program. If you want to email the show, you can reach me at luke.dieterle@missouri.edu. That's luke.dieterle@missouri.edu. And remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and the Amazon Music app. If you listen to us through Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review and be a friend of the show. Click on that follow button. This episode was produced by Afshan Husani with research by John Clough. Executive producers are Sarah Riley and Mike Quinata. The senior program director for MU Extension's Business and Communities program is Dr. Rob Russell. And this is Show Me Mo Success.